Harrison, real fall?
No, I was saying his arm, you know, it was never 100%, obviously, but it was good enough to do his job. He took over the patrol again as a patrol leader. And of course, I think what made our life a little bit easier by this time, each patroller had a Jeep, where before we'd had 5 30 underweight trucks, we now had 4 30 underweight trucks and a Jeep. Of course, a Jeep, you know, they're nearly impossible to get stuck. You just can't get stuck in a Jeep at all. And you can virtually drive up a house side, and they were marvellous things. It made our life a lot easier because we could use the Jeep for picking out the best route and best plans, and stopped a lot of the bigger trucks getting stuck quite so often. Marvellous little vehicles.
How did you come to leave the desert?
Well, the war finished in North Africa. As you know, we beat the Germans and the Italians in North Africa. And my patrol, when Montgomery did his push up the desert, they used the LRDG to do the reconnaissance of all the ground in advance of the army. And my patrol, we did the reconnaissance for Tripoli, for the bit into Tripoli. And when we finished in Tripoli, when the war finished, we stayed in Tripoli. And they literally took over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of horses from the Italians, from the Carabinieri. And Y Patrol, being all yeomen and all ex-cavalrymen, we seemed to land this job of looking after these blooming horses. Although we had no physical work to do, we had Arab sisters to do all the cleaning out, one thing or another. And it was quite a lucrative job, inasmuch that these Arabs were coming along. And if the mare come in season, and we had all the stallions, we had a sort of a service charge. You know, half a crate of eggs for the white stallion and a sheep for the big black stallion and so on, you know. And if any poor little Arab came along with a couple of little kids and looked particularly poor, you'd probably give him a couple of horses, because we had hundreds of the damn things. Hundreds of the damn things. And then eventually the patrol moved back to Alexandria. The war in the desert was finished as far as we were concerned. We moved back to Alex. And then we started another phase of the Long Range Desert Group. We went to Cedars of the Lebanon on a skiing course. We went to Haifa and did a parachute course. And we did all sorts of peculiar things. Then eventually the Dodecanese came along, Leros and Kos, and I was LOB for that. I was left out of battle, and I stayed behind and moved the unit down from Lebanon down back into Palestine. And so the lads eventually came back by various routes from the Dodecanese back into Palestine, and then we eventually went over to Italy.
When would that have been about?
44 it would be. We landed at Naples and we moved over to Rodi.
Rodi?
Rodi. R-O-D-I, I think they spell it. On the Adriatic coast. And from there, Lloyd Owen, by this time, was colonel in charge of LRDG. And all the patrols were all split up, etc., etc. And I finished up with a new patrol called M Patrol.
What was that?
And a Captain Greenwood was my captain.
What was M Patrol?
Just a name. Just a name. Yes, an M. And Captain Greenwood was my patrol officer, and he used to frighten me to death. He was probably the bravest man I've ever met in my life. There's no justice. Why the hell he never got the VC and bar? Well, I think the reason is because no one was ever there to see the exploits he got up to. I mean, he was so brave, it was ridiculous. And eventually we were asked to, by this time, of course, I was due for coming home. I'd been abroad for 5 years, and that was a long time. And I went out on one last patrol, and we were to parachute behind the German lines to meet up with some partisans, Italian partisans, purely more or less in an advisory capacity. And the drop-in zone we picked out was perfect. They'd had Spitfires over, mapping the whole area out. The whole thing was perfect. And we went up, and two patrols of us to jump, 8 men in a patrol. And the first patrol jumped, and the searchlights picked us up. And we got shot at a bit. But the plane was weaving about. Quite frightening, really. And eventually the light came on, you know, for jumping out. So out we got. And of course, once you get out, you can't get back in. There's no chance of that. And as soon as we got out, I knew something was dreadfully wrong. I mean, the drop-in zone we picked, there was a river and a road, went side by side for miles, then opened up in a big meadow, and then closed up again, and we were to drop in this meadow. Perfect drop-in zone. No sign of a river, no sign of a road, nothing at all. Anyway, we landed, and I dropped in a sort of a vineyard, the edge of a town. And I'd had a look when I got out of the plane which way the stick, and I tried to walk down the stick to pick, because I was the last one out of the plane, being the sergeant. Captain Greenwood was the first out. And as it turned out, I was walking against the vines. You see, they'd wires strung out, holding the vines up. And I was walking into the wire all the time. Walking into, getting through a wire, then 2 or 3 yards into another wire. So I realised there was no joy in that, so I turned and followed the vines down. Of course, then you come across buildings and you get a bit disoriented. You don't know, you know, you begin to forget where you are. And it was getting near dawn, till I thought, oh, no joy in this, I'll make for the hills. And I was doing quite well. I'd got clear of the town, clear of the area.
Were you by yourself?
Yes, yes, yes. And I was walking along quite happily. And I came to, came over the brow of a hill, and on the other side of it, it was all terraced. And as I came over a terrace, on either side of me, as far as I could see, was a string of German soldiers. And I'd got a rifle, a revolver, a knife, and I thought, well, you know, really, Gordon, you've two choices. You can shoot one or two of them and die in a blaze of bullets and glory, you know, or you can put your hands up. And being a sensible fellow, I put my hands up. And I got rid of my rifle, it was a carbine, I got rid of my revolver, and I got rid of the knife. I was in a cornfield, and the Germans never found it. I think they were so pleased in getting me, they never searched.
Were you in uniform?
Well, my cap, actually, my headgear, was an American baseball cap. When I was at in Italy, before I was taking off, an American serviceman swapped my jump hat for one of these, you know, these silly American with great big peaks, had one of those on. And, of course, I was taken prisoner, and we were taken down to this, I was taken down to this little village, and when I got down there, five of the lads were already there. I made number six. And the other two, they never did catch, Captain Greenwood being one, and a fella called Ford was the other. And they both eventually got back. But,
I think you blame the American Air Force.
Oh, we found out later when we got, because we all had a silk escape maps and compasses sewn into buttons and all things, and we got out, and we were 25 miles from where we should have been. Well, 25 miles, a hell of a long way. You know, I mean, it was ridiculous. And as it turned out, we dropped the, I think it was the 3rd Panzer Division had been pulled out of the front line on rest, and we dropped right among them. They saw us jump out of the aeroplane. You know, and immediately they turned everyone out to search for us.
Where was this place that you were captured approximately?
It was about 100 miles north of Rome. 150 miles north of Rome. I think we, the night we jumped, had just declared Rome an open city. Because I got big plans that before I came back to England to have a few days leave in Rome. But of course it never materialised. And we were, the six of us were eventually taken to Verona, where the Gestapo had taken over a bit of the civilian prison, and we were out of a week or two there. And then we went back into Germany, and we were treated as aircrew. I don't know why. And we were taken to eventually to a prisoner of war camp in Poland. And then suddenly they realised we weren't aircrew, we were army parachutists. Because they whipped us back then, and I finished up at a prisoner of war camp in Sargon.
The role of the long-range desert group in Italy then, did you find it very different?
Oh, totally different. It finished up more or less like what I should imagine the commando unit would be. You know, we were trained really for the desert, and I think we were experts at the desert. I think we could drive better in the desert than most other drivers. We could live in the desert. I mean, you imagine there were 15 of you living together for literally months at a time, you know. You've got to do this without any fallout. You've got to be able to get on together, great pals. I mean, even so, that when we went on leave, we always used to go on leave together. Then they all used to book in the same hotel, and, you know, we were all great pals. And still are. Still are when we go to the reunion dinner. You'll always see Y Patrol lads together, as you will see G Patrol together, and so on, and so forth. That although, as a unit, we were all great friends, and each patrol was a sort of a separate little entity within the unit. But I never knew any disagreements or fighting or anything like that in the unit. We were all great friends.
Did you like Italy as much as the desert?
No. No, it was... by nature, I'm a lazy so-and-so, and all my war had been riding, first in the cavalry on horseback, and then in the LRDG, driving a wagon. And, of course, when we got to Italy, most of it was done walking. And although I think I'm a reasonably good walker, and it's not one of my favourite pastimes, but I didn't like Italy as well as I like the desert. If you're going to fight a war, you know, really, I would say the desert's a perfect place. You've no civilian population to get mixed up in. You've no cities to bomb or anything like that. It's more like having a war at sea, really, you know, the vast open space of the desert where you can manoeuvre your tanks or what have you. I think if you've got to have a war, it's a perfect place. In fact, I think we should pass a law that in future anyone who has a war has to go in a desert to fight it. I think it's a marvellous place to have one.